But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I not refused him, for the Lord sees not as man sees, for man look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Amen.
Chapter 8. Chapter 8.
Verse 8.
Then Jesus see David.
God is good, isn't he?
Amen. Yes, he is. Amen.
I think the Holy Ghost was about to get a hold of him. That ought to make mom and dad and grandparents real, real proud. Amen. I'd rather be up here trying to read, amen, than out in the world trying to do something else. Amen.
Right.
It's just good. And I'm thankful for that. So bring them up. Train them up in the way that they should go.
Amen.
Even when they're old, they won't depart from me. Good job, Trey. Good job. Well, glory. Let's see. The band's up here now. I have a hard time getting them back, so I'm going to... You singing with me? B-flat.
A little bit slow. I've had a lot of troubles and trials in my little lifespan. When I'm standing alone, the battle gets hot. Just do the best I can. I must have crossed a million valleys, shed a million tears. When I come to the river of joy, hallelujah, then I'll have no fear. There's been a lot of people talk about me, such a walk this narrow way, but it's just another little valley. Came through it when I pray. Well, I climbed up the right of my mountain, gone through a lot of little streams. Well, to see more joy than golden bars, that'll be the last for me. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.
Wasn't much bigger than that when I used to drag my guitar to church in Rock Mart. I know folks got tired of messing with me, but I tried to get G, C, and D, and they had done it in another key, but amen. I'd sit on the very back bench up there and try to follow those other guitar players and finally learned a chord a little bit. So I thank God for our children. Amen. Thank God for the desire. I really appreciate that. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, we want to go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 43. Good to see you folks tonight. We love you dearly. Appreciate each and every one of you coming out on a Sunday evening. Yeah, I was quite taken back. Trey came in tonight. I mean, first thing he came up to me, "Papa, I'm preaching tonight. Can I preach tonight?" And I said, "Well, yeah. Have you got some?" "Yeah, I've got something." So I didn't know what to expect, but he did a lot better than I thought he was going to do. I thought he did a wonderful job. So who knows? I've seen little folks preach before, so God may have something great in store for him. And I want to encourage him. From Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2, the Bible reads this way, "But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Can we bow our heads in prayer? Brother Chris, would you ask the Lord's blessing tonight?
Father God, I ask you, beautiful Brother Eddie, Father God, Lord, touch his lips, Lord, anoint them to speak your word, Father. Anoint our ears and hearts to receive your word, Father. Speak to us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Give the Lord praise, and you may be seated. Amen. Tonight, I just want to speak a little while on a promise to the redeemed. Aren't you thankful that God stands by his promises? Man, he will not break his promise. As I was reading in the book of Isaiah, actually I had really intended to go in an entirely different direction tonight, but I really want to follow the leading of the Lord. I had an opportunity today. I didn't get over to Mother's yesterday and told Penny when we got home and ate some lunch, I said, "I'm going over and sit with Mother." So I went over and sat with her, and she's sitting there in a room just by herself. And we began to talk like normal, just a little chit-chat. And then just asked her how she was doing, how she was feeling. And she looked at me and she said, "The Lord has been so good to me." And I looked at her in that little rocking chair, and I saw the years on her face, and I saw the wrinkles there, and her little bottom chin kind of quivers now where it was once was very firm. And as I sat there for over an hour, just kind of really, she doesn't talk too much now. You know, I have to kind of initiate the conversation and begin to talk to her about some of the relatives and some of the things that are going on, and we just kind of converse back and forth. But as I was driving home, I began to think about a promise to the redeemed. Now, let me just kind of take you back in history just a little bit. Mother received the baptism of the Holy Ghost when she was still in her teenage years. And my granddaddy was pastoring a church there in Cedartown. And she and her cousin, I both received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I think, on the same night. And my granddaddy and grandmother was telling me that Mother continued to speak in tongues until the service was way over, and they actually put her in the car and drove her back to Rockmart, Georgia, back, I guess it's about 14 miles, something like that, between Cedartown and Rockmart, put her to bed, and she was still speaking in tongues. And Mother married really, really young and married my dad. My dad was about 6 years older than Mother. And I'm telling you this because I want to get to a format tonight, if you'll allow me just a little bit of time. So at a very early age, I was born, and Dad was drafted in the Army and had to go and serve in Korea. I was 13 days old when he boarded a train there in Rockmart bound for the battlefields of Korea. He later would say that he would not look back from the train because he was afraid if he did, he'd lose it. So he just kept looking forward. And, of course, I don't know exactly how long that he was away, but I had it was several months. I think I was close to a year and a half and all when he came back and all. But Mother and Dad both were very, very blessed. And then later on in the year of 1954, my little brother was born, and a wonderful man of God, a great guy. I don't get to see him a whole lot. But then in 1957, Mom was carrying our baby sister. And our baby sister was born, and if you see the pictures today, she was just looked just like Dennis. She looked just like a vision of health and little round face, almost just a chip off the block of what Dennis looked like, except she was a little girl. But she was born with some type of condition, with a blood condition. At that particular time, they were not set up to be able to do a blood transfusion, so she only lived 11 hours on this earth. And, of course, my brother and I, we were still pretty young. We didn't really know the concept of a baby sister dying until later on, and we both sat and talked. I wonder how she would be if our baby sister was alive today. She would have been the first baby, a girl, born on the Bailey side at my granddaddy and grandmother. And sometime after that, Mother did not handle that very well. She began to be in a depressed state, and a very serious depressed state, one that the doctors told her that if she didn't get a hold of herself, that she would probably have a nervous breakdown and could very easily, she would say later, lose her mind and lose her ability to react and to be able to make decisions. And I remember one night, and these are things, some of the things that were told to my brother and I later, but some of the things we were big enough to remember too. And we were living there in the home on Harlan Lane Road, and Mother was in the bed, and Mother was crying and uncontrollably crying. And you talk about maybe a 5 and a 7 year old not knowing what to do, and Daddy wringing his hands. And he called my granddaddy, Mother's dad, and the preacher. And he was pastoring in Rockmart at that particular time. And he and my grandmother, Mama Ida, came down. And I remember them coming in the little room there where Mother was laying down. And they began to pray. And, I mean, they was calling on the name of the Lord. And I remember Mother just crying, uncontrollably crying. And that had me and Dennis both crying and tears. You know, we didn't know what to do. We were freaking out pretty big time because she talked about, like I said, 5 and 7 years old. And just didn't know what was happening to Mother because we knew that she wasn't acting like Mother normally did. But they prayed until they got victory. And I remember my granddaddy hovering over the bed of Mother and giving her a hug. And Mother's tears changed. I didn't realize then, but her tears of sadness, her tears of remorse, and her tears of depression suddenly became tears of joy. I found out later when she got victory, when she was able to release that bondage of depression. And, you know, it was, I don't know, she would say later, she didn't know why it was, but she said something in her died the day that the baby died. And she had a really, really hard time getting over that. And I don't know why I was thinking about that today as I sat there and I looked into her face, because she gave me no reason, none whatsoever. She didn't mention the death of the baby. She didn't mention any of the depression. She didn't mention any of the hardships, the trials, the things that she'd gone through. But in her face, I saw those lines, and where Mother's skin used to be really smooth and she was so self-conscious of her skin being smooth, and now it's got the weathered lines, and I begin to think about each one of those lines probably represents maybe a river, maybe a fiery trial, maybe one of the waters that she had to tread through, and the things that she'd done. I know I'm not gonna bore you with the testimony of my brother, but later on in life, when Dennis broke his arm, and she held on to that faith, and by then she had done got victory, and she was more like mother, and I praise God for that. But then I began to think as she sat there today, and some of you have seen that in your parents when. Basically, the only talking they do is kind of with their eyes. They don't say a whole lot anymore. But you see those weathered expressions. You see those things. And I begin to think about that promise to the redeemed. And even at 84 years old, God's still holding his part of the promise. He's still making sure that he's taking care of her and being with her in a wonderful way, in a relationship that nobody can ever take that away from her, even though she's not in the home that was her home, even though she doesn't have the ability to go out and drive the car like she once did and loved her independence, she still has that promise that God said, I will never leave you. You are my redeemed. Thou art mine. You belong to me. And suddenly that little bit of sadness, that little bit of whatever it was that I was feeling for mother I began to rejoice, and I began to thank God that through every trial, as far back as even her teenage years, God has never left her. He's been with her. He said, when you pass through the waters, he didn't say if you pass through the waters. He said, when you pass through the waters. And then, you know, naturally as human beings, we begin to think, well, Lord, if this teenage girl gave her life to you at such an early age, if she was filled with your spirit and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and denied the things of the world and gave her life to you, why did she have to go through these things? And why did this have to happen to her? And you know, the Bible says here, he doesn't say if this happens to you, it said it's going to happen. When you go through the waters, when you pass through those things, that I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, I won't leave you. I'll be there. When you walk through the fire, you are mine, and I'll be there. And I begin to think, praise God. You know, God didn't ever tell us that we wouldn't have issues and problems, but he did promise us that he said, I will be with you always. Amen. I'll go through the river with you. And then my mind began to think as I was driving back home this afternoon after leaving mother and giving her a hug and telling her I loved her and I'd see her in the morning, I began to think that my mother is not the only one who's ever been redeemed. She's not the only one who's ever had that promise. I began to think about Abraham and how that Abraham was a man, a friend of God, but even he had to walk through turbulent times, and even he had to come to the point, amen, of offering up his only son, but God did not allow him to do that. He only tested his faith and the old age that Abraham had and Jacob and these other great patriarchs. Amen. The Bible says if you are my redeemed, glory to God, you don't have to fear. I begin to think what God has done for Abraham, what he's done for Jacob, amen, what he's done for Moses, and even as we're reading about Gideon this morning, even after all of Gideon's exploits, the Bible tells us that he lived to be an old age. He had a promise, amen, that God would be there with him. Why? Because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Yeah, we'll walk through rivers. Yeah, we'll walk through waters. Amen. But they will not overflow us, and we will not get to a point that it's worse than or more than we're able to bear, as long as we know and we've got that seal upon us that we belong to God. Aren't you glad? Amen. That you know who you belong to. Aren't you glad? Do you know who your Redeemer is? I thank God for my Redeemer. I thank God that I am His and I belong to Him. Not even the fire is going to kindle against us as long as we hold on to the power of God and we hold on to that promise. And I thought about the promises that we have today. Amen. And even though we have situations, even though we have waters to walk through and trials may come our way, just this week, someone was asking me, They said, Brother Eddie, how do you explain to someone who's asking and questioning God Why are we going through those things? And in my message this morning, even Gideon himself wanted to know, if I am the chosen one to lead Israel out, then why are all of these things happening to Israel? And why, you know, are we not seeing the miracles of God? And it's very hard to explain to an unbeliever or an unsaved person how that there is a God who loves us. But God never promised us that we wouldn't have problems. God never promised us that we wouldn't have issues or situations. And sometimes there's sadness. It's almost to a point of being unbearable. It's almost like we can't even get a ray of sunshine or a ray of hope in our life. But we need to understand that the promise of God is true. The promise of God will not fail. He cannot break His promise and what He has told us. If we are redeemed, amen, you need to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus, amen. You need to belong to Him. But if we are redeemed, we don't have anything to fear. All fear needs to be gone away. All fear needs to be put behind us. We need to understand and know that we have the authority of the Lord Jesus within us. We can speak to Satan and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." We can speak to the mountain, say, "Be removed and cast into the sea." We can speak to the waters, the problems, the issues that we may face, only because we have the power of God that is within us. And He that has formed us, He made this promise to Israel, but I believe symbolically He has promised us that very same thing, because who He redeems, He does keep. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that the Lord will not leave us? Aren't you glad, amen, that He will make a way? Later on in that same particular chapter, in verse number 15, He says, "I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh the way in the sea, and the path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold," I love verse 19, "I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Amen. Even in the driest of times, God will open up the avenues of heaven. Amen. And He'll put a river right in the middle of your desert. He will make a way. Remember, if you're redeemed, don't lose hope. If you're redeemed, you got nothing to be depressed about. Amen. God will deliver you. God will set you free. I thought about how that mother could give a book. She could write a book on the things that has transpired in her life. And I know you probably have those same stories that you could tell, how God has interceded on behalf of your family. But I thought, you know, those are things that nobody can ever, ever take away from us. So as she sat there, and she didn't say much, but she said this, "The Lord has been so good to me." And there's a mouthful in that. Because when she said, "The Lord has been so good to me," I began to reminisce. I began to think about all that she's gone through, all the many things that's happened in her life. And God has sustained her. God has let her live to 84 years, and I hope she lives a long, long time. Amen? Because she's got a lot to be thankful for. She's got a lot to praise God for. I don't know if I'll ever see 84, but in my short life or in my life, I can certainly tell you tonight, amen, that God has never failed me. He's never left me alone. Amen? Because I am redeemed by His blood. I am redeemed by the precious Christ. Amen? Who will never leave us nor forsake us, but He will always be there and make a way. I love you so very much. I desire your prayers. I pray that you will be in one mind and one accord and pray for those who are in need of prayer. And not only just mother, but those who are in the nursing homes and those who are in assisted living, they really need your prayers. Amen. I know it gets lonesome sometimes, but they stay active pretty well, but they still need your prayers. And we got a lot of folks who are just sick and shut in, not able to get out. So we need to keep them in our prayers as well. So if you would stand tonight. And I know we don't have the band, but I'm going to sing that first verse again and see if you can't relate to this. "I've had a lot of troubles and trials in my little lifespan. When I'm standing alone, the battle gets hot. I always do the best I can. I must have crossed a million valleys, shed a million tears. But when I come to the river of Jordan, hallelujah, one of these days we're going to come to the river of Jordan. No more fears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no sickness, and praise God, no more death. I got one more river to cross, well, one more mountain to climb. Oh, one more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my troubles behind. Just one more battle with the devil, I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hands. Holding to his nail-scarred hands. Would you bow your heads in prayer tonight? I know that some have come to the altar already, but if you have a need tonight, please don't leave without coming forth and let's pray in one mind and one accord while every head is bowed, every eye is closed. This altar is open for any need that you may have. If you have sickness, if you have situations in your life, the Bible says that we can anoint and pray with all the prayer of faith and you'll be delivered.